They went with
Yeah, we need copies of the minutes. Call the Senate Tax Committee to order. Senator Laurie.
Very rarely on the floor today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
And Senator Laurie, we are going to focus in on two provisions in this. We have cut down the amount of paperwork in front of us. Article 6, Section 29, a repealer. And Article 7, Sections 4 and 5. I believe that's the areas of interest this evening.
Article 6, Section 29 is a repealer. It repeals the sunset of the provider tax.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A85 amendment.
Pass the amendment out.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Members, there's going to be a series of amendments, and then we will open it up for public comment. Senator Ress moves the A85 amendment. Members, this repeals the sunset elimination in the bill. Removes the repeal of the sunset. Discussion, members? Discussion, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just got this in front of me here. Is this the repeal of the repeal?
You should repeal the repeal of the repeal, yes.
Yes, yes.
The elimination of the repeal.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, this is a critical amendment. I want to thank you, Senator Laurie, Senator Rest. It's an important amendment, and I look forward to supporting the amendment.
Thank you. Anything else,
Chair?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Nelson.
Senator Orton.
Thank me. I oppose this amendment for the record.
Senator Laurie.
I oppose this amendment for the record.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, it leaves the current access healthcare access fund intact. It would just repeal the change for 2019 or 18. Is that right?
2019.
Thank you.
Seeing no more discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A87 amendment.
Senator Rest offers the A87 amendment. Would you bring the amendment to the author of the bill first, please?
I have one. Yes. I understand.
Senator Laurie.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, I appreciate you offering this amendment. When informed that we were going to be not able to talk about whether or not the health care access fund was going to be needed into the future, I think it's premature to be making provider increases in the Minnesota Care program as it moves forward, and I would like to take those provider payment increases out of that and move them over to the Medicaid side of the house to take care of something that we weren't able to take care of within our budget target, but creating that little bit of room on the Minnesota Care side of the books allows us to do the governor's recommended 5% for dentists on both fee-for-service and
Senator Laurie, Mr. Chairman, Senator Laurie, you support my amendment then?
I support this amendment, yes.
87.
The A87 amendment.
Discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendments adopted. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A86 amendment. Mr. Chairman?
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, the A86 amendment removes the nursing home surcharge from the bill.
Senator Laurie.
It appears to me it removes the nursing home and the ICFDD surcharge. I think this is also unwise, but I oppose the amendment.
Discussion, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Amendment's adopted. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A90 amendment.
We're still coming.
Mr. Chairman, the A90 amendment is a technical amendment that balances the bill, as I understand it.
Senator Lori.
Mr. Chair, we'd have to do the A90 with the manner in which the last to the A86 brought the bill out of.
Questions, members? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion prevails. Any discussion, members? Anyone out in the audience who's opposed to the current bill? Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I would like to offer the A84 amendment.
Senator Ortman offers the A84 amendment.
Mr. Chair, if I could explain what it does while we're having the amendment handed out.
Please do,
Senator Ortman. The A84 amendment would allow the members here an opportunity to fix what maybe should have gotten fixed on the Senate floor today. The A84 would fund the Teen Challenge program, and it would pay for that out of the Health Care Access Fund. And I hope members will do the right thing here. The argument today veered off into a place where I think it really wasn't conducive to a fair review of the amazing work that this organization does, and I hope members will support the A84 amendment.
Senator Lori, have you had time to review the A84 amendment to know what it does?
I see it. I see what it does. I would oppose the A84 amendment. We had extensive discussion about this on the Senate floor.
Senator Bach.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm just curious if there's actually excess capacity in the Health Care Access Fund to do this or not, considering the earlier Rest amendment.
Senator Lori.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bach, you know, it's not clear, and this doesn't even say that it would be taken out of that, I don't believe.
From
yeah, it does say, okay.
Yeah.
Line 1.6, Senator Lori.
I think we should carry this forward into conference committee. There's any number of things that with the target we've had, we have just simply not been able to accommodate. I would oppose this and carry it into conference committee as the bill is. I would appreciate member support in that.
Mr. Chair, I'm sure that our fiscal analyst can confirm for us that this is available in the current Health Care Access Fund. It's a very small amount of what is of the available business, available balance, and I would hope that we could get this one right and carry this into the conference committee as well and have a discussion about how we are going to fund this program, because we have made commitments and the governor has made a commitment and would prefer that we fund this program.
Senator Thompson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, I think the discussion today on the floor demonstrated that people really believe that this is effective. And Senator Lori, obviously, you're correct. There are any number of things that could potentially be funded, and we have to choose priorities. But it seems to me the number one criterion should be, is something effective? And nobody doubted that. And I would certainly appreciate if the official position of the Senate going into the conference committee was to support this program. So I would respectfully ask the members to vote for this. And I don't recall if Senator Ortman requested a roll call, but I would request that.
Roll call being requested. Roll call will be granted. Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering if Mr. Albrecht can help us confirm whether or not these funds are available.
Senator Ortman, I think we'll assume the funds are available.
Thank you.
Anything else, members? Roll call being requested. Clerk will call the roll. Oh, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I will be supporting this because of the highly effective work of Teen Challenge, I do think this brings up a point, and that is we really do need to have a look at the Healthcare Access Fund and what it should cover and what it will cover going forward. And this isn't the place for that discussion, but I think it's important that we have that discussion at another time.
Senator Nelson, Senator Lurie was carrying a balance on the Healthcare Access Fund. We just removed the majority of that in one of the previous amendments. I think it would be fair to give staff time to rebalance as the Health and Human Services bill usually does, and we'll have those answers forthcoming. Anything else? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Skoy.
No.
Senator Bach.
No.
Senator Chamberlain.
Yes.
Senator Dietzick.
No.
Senator Eaton.
No.
Senator Coonan.
No.
Senator Marty. Senator Nelson.
Yes.
Senator Ortman.
Yes.
Senator Reinert.
No.
Senator Rest.
No.
Senator Sinjum.
Yep.
Senator Thompson.
Yes.
By a vote of 5-7, 5 yeses, 7 noes, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, I do have the A-92 amendment as well.
Senator Ortman, the A-92 amendment. Let's pass it out. Can you talk about it, please?
Yes. Mr. Chair and members, the A-92 is offered because the Health and Human Services Committee made a recommendation, sent the omnibus bill to the Finance Committee, and we had quite a bit of a discussion today encouraging members to take up issues regarding the targets here in the Tax Committee. And so I do have a proposal that I think would improve the targets and the overall budget being presented by the Senate right now. The A-92 would change the LGA proposal in the Tax Committee from an increase of $80 million to an increase of $40 million, but all that new money would be applied through the proposed new LGA formula, and we would redirect that $40 million for rate increases for our nursing homes across the state of Minnesota. I think if we're going to raise that $80 million, I think that we can provide some help for our nursing homes that are desperately in need of some rate increases. And I think that this is the right thing to do. If we're going to raise that $80 million, the cities would benefit, but also our nursing homes.
Thank you, Senator.
And I would ask for a roll call vote on that, Mr. Chair.
Roll call being requested. Roll call is granted. This would put the Health and Human Services Committee over target. Anything else, members?
Mr. Chair,
on
that point, it would put Health and Human Services over target, but we also have the tax bill that would be adjusted. And as I said, we were encouraged on the Senate floor today to take up any issues we had with the Finance Committee's apportionment between all these bills today in Tax Committee, so I wanted to follow on that advice.
Thank you. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Skoy?
No.
Senator Bach?
No.
Senator Chamberlain?
Yes.
Senator Dietzick?
No.
Senator Eaton?
No.
Senator Coonan?
No.
Senator Marty? Senator Nelson?
Yes.
Senator Ortman?
Yes.
Senator Reinert?
No.
Senator Rest?
No.
Senator Sinjum?
Yes.
Senator Thompson?
Yes.
By a vote of 5 yeses, 7 noes, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Anything else, members? Discussion, members? Anyone in the audience wish to testify in opposition?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Rest.
Would you advise the testifiers to speak only to the tax provisions?
Yes, you would confine your comments to the tax provisions and keep your comments brief, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Catherine Commit. I'm from the Minnesota Council of Health Plans, and I do have a chart that I would like the page to distribute.
Pass that out for us, please.
While this is being distributed, I'll just begin with my testimony. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill. Again, my name is Catherine Commit, and I represent the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. Members of the council include Blue Cross and Blue Shield, Health Partners, Medica, Metropolitan Health Plan, Preferred One, Sanford Health Plan, and UCare. One of the ways this bill raises revenue is through a provision that more than doubles the medical assistance surcharge from the existing 0.6% to 1.48%, and we oppose this provision. As we have testified in front of this committee before, insurance premium taxes are unfair because they are applied only on coverage purchased in the fully insured market. To illustrate this, I'm distributing a pie chart that shows where Minnesotans get their health insurance coverage. This data comes from the Minnesota Department of Health. The red piece of the pie represents the fully insured market, which is about 25% of the state's population. The fully insured market includes individuals and employer groups that purchase coverage from a health plan or insurance company in exchange for a premium. This is the only portion of the private market that can be taxed and regulated by the state. The green section of the pie chart represents large employers that self-insure. Typically, these employers have over 200 employees or more. These employers have enough financial resources to act as their own insurer. That is, the employer pays for the cost of the medical claims incurred by their employees, but they hire a health plan to administer the health benefits for their employees. Because these larger self-employers self-insure, they are exempt from paying any state taxes, assessments, fees, et cetera, by the federal ERISA law. As a result, the cost of this coverage for larger self-insured employers is less than the cost of coverage for individuals and small employers. In this bill, Minnesotans who purchase HMO products in the fully insured market will see an increase of 0.88% in their premiums, while the majority of Minnesotans who get their coverage through government and self-insured employers are exempt. This tax increase will be added on top of all of the other premium taxes that Minnesotans will experience as the changes from the Affordable Care Act and the exchange are implemented beginning on January 1, 2014. Health plans that sell all or most of their business through an HMO license will be at a competitive disadvantage, as they will have to raise their insurance premiums to cover the new tax when their competitors do not. The impact of this tax increase affects different plans differently. In past budget years, staff at DHS has struggled with how to figure out a way to impose an increase in the MA surcharge on HMOs without the disproportionate effects on different health plans. However, no one has found a way to apply it in an equitable manner. This is an important bill, and it funds very important state programs. However, we oppose this tax increase on the fully insured market to fund state responsibilities that should be funded out of a broad-based fund like the general fund. For the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Hickey.
Mr. Chairman, members, Mike Hickey with the National Federation of Independent Business. We have 13,000 members statewide, and the vast majority are in the state-regulated market. I just want to make some brief comments. I know you've all had a long day. We're just very disappointed that this, I guess, is the final thing we're going to do to raise premiums for small employers this year. I did pass out the chart. As you know, due to the exchange, we're going to see an up to 3.5% increase. We'll see if it gets that high, but in the outer years, it can. And so add 0.88 onto it. I mean, we have to stop doing this. Years ago, this was about 4, 5, 6%. Now we're going to be at 13.59 or 13.11, depending on how you're insured. And Fortune 500 companies are going to pay a projected 2.86%. And I know we've got some senators here who care about that and try to help us on this year. But, you know, this is just a bad result, raising people's health care premiums that people can least afford it. Small businesses, worse yet, individuals, and not on Fortune 500 companies. And we're just very disappointed. I hope we can find a better solution to this so we just don't keep doing this every year. And it's the last thing that those people who struggle to pay their health insurance premiums need. And so thanks for the time.
Thank you. Ms. Johansson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Kate Johansson. I represent the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce and its 2,400 employer members, 80% of which are small businesses. As the previous testifiers, I'll focus my comments on the surcharge, which we believe adds cost to the cost of insurance for the fully insured consumers, again, your small businesses and individuals purchasing health coverage in the market today. The Chamber's concerns are very similar to those of previous testifiers, but I would augment them simply by outlining some of the figures that you see in the chart, which is that on top of the premium taxes that already fall only on fully insured consumers, those folks will also see an MCHA assessment of around 3% in the coming year, potentially impacted by an exchange decision. But as far as we know, a 3% MCHA assessment, a federal federal premium tax of about 2% under the ACA, which the state can do nothing about, up to a 1.5% exchange tax in the coming year and up to a 3.5% exchange tax in years thereafter. So extracting additional funds from this particular group has substantial concerns for chambers, specifically with respect to our small business members, and we would just ask that you consider them in your consideration of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cox.
Hi, I'm Barbara Cox from Health Partners. Health Partners is a unique organization in that we are a health plan, hospitals, and clinics. Because of this unique structure, we are impacted by this bill in a bunch of different ways. Relative to the HMO surcharge, the HMO surcharge very disproportionately affects Health Partners, and I have a copy of the run, if someone could pass it out. This doesn't have to do with the size of the organization. It has to do with the way that our business is structured. And because Health Partners does insure a lot of public entities, we run a lot of business through our HMO. So this has a very negative impact on Health Partners and puts us at a very significant competitive disadvantage against our competitors. Now, this comes on top of, like I said, the fact that we're a care delivery organization and we commit to the state many, many millions of dollars in uncompensated care each year. At Regions and Lakeview Hospital, just in 2012, we provided $22 million in uncompensated care. Regions is second only to HCMC in uncompensated care. Our Health Partners Medical Group, our clinics, provided $12.7 million in uncompensated care. And in addition, you've probably heard a lot about health plan margins from Medicaid. Well, Health Partners lost money 7 out of 12 years as a Medicaid provider, and the total net impact of our Medicaid involvement for the last 12 years was a negative $5 million. So when you add it up, uncompensated care, Medicaid losses, this HMO surcharge disadvantage is a significant one for us. Thanks for letting me testify.
Thank you. Mr. Griffin.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Phil Griffin. I'm here testifying on behalf of my client, Preferred One, today. Preferred One is a health maintenance organization, insurance company, and TPA located in Golden Valley, Minnesota. We employ about 300 people. I'm here today to plead with you to find a different source of revenue. One of the things that we've heard for years around here is that there's a lack of competition in the marketplace for health insurance. Our company, started by hospital organizations, Fairview and North Memorial Hospital, are interested in having that kind of competition. That's why they started this health plan. But this is a very competitive market, and it's very hard to get going. And if you put this tax on, you will take Preferred One Community Health Plan, which I helped get them the license for when I was an employee, a two-year process that was very time-consuming and required immense amounts of capital to influx into that organization and capital just to get it started. You will take us down to our statutory reserve levels. That is what we call in the normal marketplace bankruptcy. And that is something that we don't think you are intending to do, but that's what you're going to do. Mr. Chairman, members, you've heard from all of my colleagues the arguments on this. I won't repeat them. But I will say to you, this is not our money. This is the money that's paid to us by the people who ask us to arrange their health care. It's premium dollars, and it falls back on the people that pay the premiums, whether they be individuals or small groups in this place, in this case, or the employers. I would ask you to please search for another way. We would like to continue doing business in this marketplace. It's a marketplace that we think is one that needs competition, and if there's anything we can do to provide further information on alternatives, we would like to work with you to do that. Mr. Chairman, members, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Wessel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Christina Wessel. I'm with the Deputy Director of the Minnesota Budget Project, and I wanted to testify to say that we strongly supported the provision in the Senate omnibus bill that took the fiscally responsible action of repealing the scheduled sunset of the provider tax. Provider tax will raise $1.1 billion in the next biennium and nearly $1.3 billion in the 2016-17 biennium to meet the health care needs of Minnesotans. The governor, House, and Senate have all chosen in their budget proposals to use these health care access fund dollars in the next biennium to pay for more than $400 million in medical assistance spending that is currently paid from the state's general fund. In 2016-17, that amount grows to $600 million in the Senate omnibus bill and $741 million in the House omnibus bill. And I believe there were some amendments passed just before that add to that amount. Senator Lori's bill took the fiscally responsible action of keeping the provider tax in place until we have had a public discussion about alternative sources of revenue to fund this health care. Repealing the provider tax without an alternative revenue source in place is irresponsible. It jeopardizes vital health care services and creates a gigantic fiscal hole in the not-so-distant future. By maintaining the provider tax, Senator Lori created the opportunity to have a discussion about how we should fund health care in the future without placing Minnesotans' health care at risk. So it's extremely disappointing that that provision has been removed from the bill. I also distributed a blog earlier that we released today discussing this topic. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. O'Connell.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Maureen O'Connell. I'm here on behalf of Take Action Minnesota. Take Action Minnesota has worked over the years to expand access to affordable health care coverage. And in the interest of time, I'll just say that we support Christina's testimony and are very disappointed that the sunset has been repealed.
Thank you. Anyone else? Members, anything else?
The big sign.
Anything else? Senator Rest?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate file 1034 as amended be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest moves that Senate file 1034 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No. No.
Motion prevails. Bill's passed and on its way to the floor. Thank you, Senator Lori. Nothing else before the committee. We will be meeting next Monday, 9 a.m. Thank you, committee members. Meeting's adjourned.